Headlines.
From Washington, D.C., the capital of the divided states of America, it's time for the show that brings you both sides of the issues that really matter. On the right, I am investigative journalist and Republican Lee Stranahan.
And on the left, I'm political analyst and progressive Democrat Garland Nixon.
It's time for the most disruptive radio show in America. It's Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan. Today on the show in round one, the mainstream media is reporting that special counsel Robert Mueller is planning to investigate Donald Trump for obstruction of justice. A headline designed to sound scary, Garland. Is this an authentic new wrinkle in the story or just more journalistic regurgitation? You know, that was sounded easier when I wrote it and then I was able to say it, so I'm worried. Journalistic regurgitation might have been a tongue twister. In round two, the United States has announced a new arms deal with Qatar.
What?
Just after Donald Trump accused Qatar of sponsoring terrorism. What's up with that? We'll discuss it in round two. In round three, we will be discussing Fox News changing its motto from fair and balanced to something else. They're doing so to signify the end of the Ailes era. Does it matter? Does the motto matter? Will it change Fox News? We'll talk about it. And we'll also talk about why a high fashion company may be trolling the resist movement. All of that and more on today's episode of Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan. Hello, Garland. How you doing?
I am doing wonderful. We got big things going on.
We do. So right before we went on the air, I got a copy of Newsweek. This new Newsweek has a cover story on my old employer, Breitbart News. By the way, I think the cover, it's Donald Trump on the shoulders of Alex Marlowe, my former boss, the editor-in-chief of Breitbart. I think it's Photoshop, Garland. I got to say.
I'm thinking it probably is.
I think it's Photoshop. But they do. But the fifth words in this article, the fifth words are Lee Stranahan, if you read it. It starts with mentioning me, and then it ends mentioning me, and then there's like 10 paragraphs in the middle about me. And so that's interesting.
So you're the man who made Trump and Breitbart, huh?
Apparently, I sent them a photo. I did, at their request, I did send them a photo, and wisely, for anybody watching on Facebook Live right now, or Periscope, you can see why they didn't go with the photo of me. But, no, I, you know, look, there's also an article on gotnews.com today from Charles Johnson, who's a, you know, it's a right-wing website, and Chuck is an iconoclast, and Katie McHugh, who was just fired there, about Breitbart. And it's interesting, you know, the article talked about Breitbart and chaos, and the article, from my perspective, did a good job of reflecting, look, the Newsweek writer and general narrative is not conservative. Newsweek's not known as a conservative publication. Yeah. That being said, the stuff they quoted about me was accurate. They called me part of the alt-right, which I've never considered myself at all. I've never used the term, never once used the term alt-right. And alt-right's got a racist tinge. And
yeah, a little bit of a racist connotation to it, yeah.
It was come up with by Richard Spencer, who's a white nationalist.
I would consider you a conservative-minded person, but I don't consider you a member of the alt-right.
Well, I'm not racist.
My dealings with you, every day we talk, and it's not just that. I don't consider you a member of the alt-right.
And I'm not racist. I'm against racism. And I've talked to Richard Spencer about this, and I said, you know, you and I, one of our big disagreements is going to be that I'm not a collectivist. I'm an individualist, and I ignore, and that's it. And he didn't disagree that he's a collectivist when it comes to that stuff, and he's against individualism. So, okay, so we don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's a difference. But aside from that, I'm not going to quibble with the article. Now, an article I will quibble with, and by the way, if you're listening, I should point out once again, as we've been doing the past couple of weeks, we've been on iTunes for a couple of weeks. We have more announcements coming for the show, by the way, so keep staying tuned. They also said, by the way, that I'm a Kremlin something.
Puppet? They didn't say Kremlin puppet. But yeah.
They mentioned the radio show without mentioning it by name. They did mention that I host a radio show on Sputnik. And but fine, whatever. Whatever. You know what? What's funny to me, but they did say in the article that we're pro-Trump. And as I pointed out before,
You and I are pro-Trump?
No, that Sputnik is pro-Trump.
Oh, really?
And, right, I've missed that.
Yeah, I've yet to hear a radio station with anyone other than you that has anything good to say about a radio show on this station.
That's right.
Anybody other than you that has anything good to say about Trump.
That's right. And I'm just, there's not a lot of MAGA hats around here, and I get along with everybody. But I was saying before, like Eugene, the show that's on right before is by any means necessary.
Which is, that sounds like a pro-Trump show. You know, the Malcolm X quote.
Exactly right.
Why wouldn't you think that would be a pro-Trump show?
But Bob and Eugene, who host that show, you listen to the show. It's not right.
It's decidedly left.
It's decidedly left.
Parts.
And like I say, I like
Trump territory.
Eugene and Bob always very, very nice, very gracious when they have to clear out of the studio before we come in.
Which again shows something. You know, you have people trying to create a narrative, but they're not. They don't like. Well, oh yes, they're decidedly pro Trump. Have you listened to any of the shows on Sputnik? Well, not really. I don't have to. I already know that they're pro Trump.
Eugene would laugh out loud if we said. There's nothing pro-Trump about by any means necessary.
No, anybody
has to do is listen to it. And again, listen to it. Feel free to listen to it. I'm a free speech person, so listen to
Eugene,
it.
Eugene, who a guy who actually once ran for office as like a member of the Socialist Party.
And he would have got my vote as a member of the Socialist Party if I were registered socialist.
Right. And the fact of the matter is, don't sound like a person that's going to probably vote for Trump, does it? You're going to be a Trump supporter.
Now, speaking of other big, I'm just going to come out and say it, Garland. This Mueller story about, I mean, is it possible to order a nothing burger with a side of nothing? Like,
that would be a redundant waste of time. Can I have nothing with a side of nothing?
So, story came out, I believe it started in the Washington Post, the New York Times picked up on it, that Robert Mueller is theoretically, possibly going to be investigating Trump for obstruction of justice, which, I'm going to tell you my take on it, Garland, and then I want to hear yours. Duh. That's my take. Duh. He's going to be investigating every aspect of this.
For every accusation. You know, here's what's funny. One of my favorite movies of all time is Airplane. And there's a segment in Airplane where the star, he's talking to his girlfriend, and he's talking about something that they're going to do. And he says, yeah, we're going to make a run. We're leaving at midnight. We're coming in to attack the target from the north to go under radar. And he gives her all of these details. Right. And she says, when will you be back? And he says, I can't tell you. It's classified. You know, that's the big joke. Right. Well, the Washington Post story, it has this. You're going to love this. I'm just going to read one paragraph. I don't read many paragraphs, but you got to hear this because I had to bring that to start. Five people briefed on the interview request speaking on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to discuss the matter publicly said that Daniel Coates, the current director of national intelligence, Mike Rogers, head of the National Security Agency, and Rogers' recent departed deputy, Richard Leggett, agreed to be interviewed by Mueller's investigation as early as this week. The investigation has been cloaked in secrecy. So we've got somebody on the inside who's telling us everything. They're giving us names. They're telling us why. But the investigation is cloaked in secrecy. You'll never find out a thing about what's going on.
Well, they didn't say that the cloak is transparent in this case. It's more the cloak. It's more like one of those things you wear in the rain. What are they called?
Oh, yeah, like a poncho, like a clear poncho.
Exactly right. I don't want to say poncho because it'll sound racist if I say it. But so like
Maxwell
clear,
Smarts, what he had that he used to get under the thing of silence?
The cone of silence.
The cone of silence,
Yeah. But it's clearly cloaked in secrecy. Now, I got to say, I was in the White House twice today. I was over there for an 8:30 briefing, which was embargoed.
Ooh.
But it was embargoed till 11 a.m., and I don't even know why it was embargoed. Hey, you know one thing I'm going to point out to people, because people get confused about this? You know, sometimes you'll see a story in the paper, and it says, top White House officials stated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people are so cynical about the media, and we've talked about the mainstream media kind of gets what they deserve there. But can I point out something about that people might not know at home? Do you know why some stories say a top White House official, and they don't say it was Garland Nixon or whoever. Do you know why?
Why?
Because the White House tells them to say that. We were told this briefing is embargoed, and you have to, quote, say it was a top White House official.
Oh, okay. Oh, well,
interesting. Does that make sense?
Yes, in other words, yes.
We were told not to say it's Betty Johnson of 123 Main Street. Oh, right. By the way, I'm sorry, Betty. I shouldn't have given your address out just now. No, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I hope to God there's no one named Betty Johnson at 123 Main Street, by the way. Just for their
in
sake.
In America, likely with a name like Betty Johnson, there's a Joe Smith there and, you know, a James Jones.
But that's why they do it sometimes. So sometimes people go like, Well, why don't they tell us who the source is? Well, because they told us not to. Because it was, and by the way, this is an on-the-record briefing.
Well, we've got a shocking statement from the NSA. This is good. This is shocking. This really threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
The NSA said in a statement that it will fully cooperate with the special counsel. They had to report that in the Washington Post because who would have ever thought that the NSA would fully cooperate with the special counsel?
It's a criminal investigation. They wanted the special prosecutor. They got it. But here's what bugs me. So at 8:30 this morning.
But normally the NSA is not. But get out of here.
No, I know. This is complete, once again.
It's ridiculous.
It's more fake news. Now, what they don't want to talk about, let me spend 30 seconds talking about it. And this won't be George Soros yet. I'll get to him later.
Good. Thank you.
That'll get later. But here's what it is. Trump is actually doing policy. Not only that, Garland, he's doing bipartisan policy that I don't think is controversial particularly. I don't think it's controversial.
Yeah, but I'm going to attack him for it anyway.
Well,
so
let me tell you what I mean by not controversial. He's got the unions involved. Trumpka was at the White House earlier this week. So what he's doing is this new plan.
Trump could summit.
Well, here's the thing. They're talking about the problem of student debt. Right now, there's $1.4 trillion in student debt. I know you're a Bernie guy and just want to wipe it out.
So, yeah, forgive it. There we go.
Here's what the Trump administration wants to do is start to get in apprenticeship programs to get people into trades because not everybody needs a college degree. You can get a good job. And they gave this example at a briefing I was at the White House the other day. Acosta said he used to run a college. He knew a guy. You were in law enforcement. Does a criminal justice degree help you get a job initially as a cop or in law enforcement? Or is that something you tend to get later?
Well, things have changed. There used to be a time where you got it later. And now because it's so hard to get a job now.
Right.
It does help. But that's only reason. The reason is not in law enforcement. It's because it's so hard for
people
to find a job.
But you don't need to get a high school degree.
Right. Most of them. Some of them are changing here and there, but most of them are high school degrees.
And so they're introducing this new program to streamline the process. And I ask in the White House today specifically, I said, I don't really care that much about big business. How is this going to help small and medium-sized businesses get involved with apprenticeships? And they explained, they said it's absolutely designed to help do that. And by the way, I think, and you, this is going to shock you, Garland, I think this is a good use for Ivanka Trump. Because she's going to be the spokesperson out there, and I've been very critical of Ivanka in the past, but I got to tell you, this is a good use for her. She's going to be going out. They said, we're going to use the bully pulpit to let businesses know, hey, we think you should do apprenticeships, and we're going to make it easier for you, and they're going to make it portable. So just like if you get a degree, you get a BA, you can take that to any business. They're going to make it, if you get a certification, you can say to this other company, hey, I got this certification, and so on. It seems like a great program to me. Crickets on it. You're not going to hear the media talk about
it. And let me just say this. Let's start here. The same, as Democrats, we shouldn't be hypocritical or anything. Nobody should, but that's kind of the norm in politics on both sides. But let me say, let's start here.
Wait, when you say as Democrats, you're speaking for yourself, right? Because I'm not.
Yeah.
Speaking
for you. You're not a Democrat.
No, good.
Here's my point. Two things.
Thank
Number
God.
One, and that is Barack Obama, I think there was like 50,000 and he's gotten it up to 300 or 500,000. So if you supported it, then you should support it now. It's a good idea. Now, there is a weakness in the Trump plan, which I will point out, which needs to be addressed. I like the plan. I approve of the plan. It's going from 500,000 where they are now. They were like 50 under Obama. He got it up to 500,000, 300, something like that. Their plan is to get it up to 5 million. I'm all for that. Great plan. I'm for it. I think it should be in the news, and I think people should support it. But here's what I think the Democratic Party should say. The weakness is there's 90 million in the budget for that, and they only increased the budget by 5 million. If you want 5 million more jobs, $5 million
well,
ain't going to get it.
I'll tell you.
So my point is this. I do believe they should do it. I do believe that not just Democrat, but members of Congress should say, what we need to do is look at the numbers, look at how much it costs, and be realistic. And if you want a policy, you got to be willing. You know, I had a professor that once said, how do you spell commitment? M-O-N-E-Y. If people will not commit money, they're not committed.
This is part of the reason I was in this briefing at 8:30 for two reasons. Number one, it's air conditioned in the White House press briefing room and it's hot. Number two,
if they had food, I'd have been there too.
That's exactly right. But maybe I've got the order reversed. But also, I don't trust the media to get these things right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you, Garland, I heard it with my own ear.
Okay.
They're going to double the budget. They're going through this in basically There's three aspects to this. There's the bully pulpit aspect. They're promoting the program. There's the EO, the executive order that Trump designed, which is going to help regulatory stuff within the Department of Labor. But they're also working with people, including Bobby Scott, by the way, Democrat. Okay.
You know, I'm suspect about the regulatory stuff in the Department of Labor, but until I won't criticize.
Well, what I'm saying, but this is the third aspect. There's the EO that they can do right away, which is what they did. Then there's the congressional aspect, and they're working on it. Like I say, look, they had Trumpka in there to talk about this. They said, not only are we not involving unions, and by the way, the people from the White House mentioned, this is a Republican White House, so I'm going to mention this. They said, we think this will help get women and minorities more into the
workforce. You know the funny thing about this? Yeah, here's what I find interesting about this. One of the things that people on the left have been screaming about, including Bernie, to the Democratic Party is, you're running around saying Russia, 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 Putin, 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 Trump is evil 24 hours a day. The way to attract voters is policy, is to say working class voters need jobs. Here's a plan to bring jobs. So while the Democratic Party, once again, just like what Hillary did, while Hillary ran around screaming about basically identity politics, you know, gay people and women and all that stuff, about the Ukraine and the Crimea and how she hated Iran and she needed in Syria, a no-fly zone. And the progressives said, we don't want to hear that crap. What are you going to do about jobs? And she lost because Trump talked about jobs. Here we are again in a circumstance where all they can say is how bad Trump is and that he's a puppet for the Kremlin. And the Trump administration is acting on, and people get mad at me for saying this because I'm not sufficiently hating Trump. But to me, it's about policy. If he's doing something on policy and you're just screaming that he's a jerk, you're going to lose. In 2018, you're not going to get. In fact, Bernie just wrote an op-ed. It was in the New York Times recently. I'm pretty sure I read a one for Bernie. And that's basically what he said. You're going to have to change what you're doing. Screaming that he's an idiot, a moron, a jerk, and you hate him is not going to get any votes.
And I got to point out, Garland, that you're saying this because you want the Democrats to defeat Donald Trump in 2020. You're not saying this is like a Trump supporter.
No.
You're like Paul Revere. By the way, this is the only time you're ever going to hear me say that.
And here's the other part. And this is what I hate Trump people have to. With any president, I can say this. I disagree with all of that guy's policies. But if he does something that I agree with, I should say, well, that's a good idea. Regardless of who it is, regardless of if it's Trump, if it's Bush or whatever, I can say he did 99 things that I hate. But you know what? That one thing is right there I agree with. We should never disagree with something. And if he's doing something that's going to be good for jobs, then I should say, yeah, well, that's a good idea.
But you watch. It's not going to be jobs, jobs, jobs. It's going to be Russia, Russia, Russia.
Putin, Putin, Putin.
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
Yeah.
That's what it's a little Brady Bunch reference for you there. Anyway, coming up, let's talk. We're going to be a little disagreement with Trump here, I think, in the next round as we talk about selling arms to Qatar, a story we've been covering for a week or two here on Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan.
Fault Lines. Lines.
Welcome to round two of Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan. Well, the president has been joining along with the Saudis and the UAE and other countries in the Mideast to berate Qatar and to lambast them and to accuse them of supporting terrorism. Well, what's interesting about that is just recently the U.S. signed a deal. One portion of the deal is for $12 billion with Qatar to supply them with 36 F-16 fighter jets. It's going to be a total of about $20 billion when it's all said and done, all for a total of 72 F-15 fighter jets. Now, what's unique
By the way, you went from F-16s to F-15s.
What do we got?
It's F-15Qs, I think.
F-15 QAs, yes.
I don't know if Qatar's order changed in the last...
That's it. 4 seconds?
Yes, exactly.
QAs, the F-15, which is the Strike Eagle. F-18 is the Hornet. Is the F-16 the Hornet? F-16 is the Hornet. F-15 is the Eagle.
I know the 289 was a Mustang engine size.
Yeah.
That's what I know. Past that. We were talking cars just now.
Yeah.
I know the Barracuda came in a Hemi. That's what I know.
There we go. All right. So there we go. Mopar for life. And now, what's a couple of things that are unique about this? So recently, a number of Sunni countries, so the president, a 30-second review, the president went to Saudi Arabia and stood around with a lot of Sunni leaders around a really weird glowing orb. And a week or so later, and they were to put together an Arab NATO, that what they called was going to be an Arab NATO that seemed to be to oppose Iranian, Iran. 2 weeks later, a bunch of the Sunni nations come out and they say, Qatar's the enemy. Qatar's the one that's really supporting terrorism. Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, says, hey, we got to get this thing together. Let's get back together here and let's fix this, this problem between these countries. And oddly enough, President Trump came out and kind of contradicted what Rex Tillerson was saying and said, yeah, this is great. I'm glad to see you guys opposing Qatar. So the bottom line is, on this deal, let's be honest about it. The deal was actually ratified in November of 2016. It had already gone authorized by Congress.
Who was president then?
President Obama.
Okay, just checking.
The Congress and the Obama administration had already authorized this deal. So it's not Trump doing it. But all that being said, it wasn't.
By the way, Obama, most of the Saudi deal was also set under.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
President
sure.
Obama.
This stuff has been. This is what's been going on all along. So not to get too wordy. The long and short of it is this. Again, it shows. What I read some stuff about it. What was weird was, basically, they said that they believe that all of these problems with Qatar will be fixed by the time this deal is all finished. It's just a weird. Is it just me, Lee, or is this whole everything from the Sunni Arab NATO to the glowing orb to Qatar is the supporter of all terrorism in the world to now selling them there's a weird contradiction and it's just weird, odd stuff to me. I can't make sense. Lee, make sense of it for me.
Okay, let me do that. Now, listen, I'm not a big advocate
of glowing orbs.
Well, no, I'm a huge advocate of glowing orbs. By the way, it sounds very dirty when you say it.
Yeah, I don't like the way that came out.
But no. But I'm not a big advocate of the school of thought that says everything Trump does is four-dimensional chess. In fact, I'm one of those people who thinks there are people who are Trump supporters, the kind of people that have Trump for life tattooed on their abdomen, that kind of thing. Right? I'm not one of those people. I don't think that everything Trump does is 4D chess. But let me make that argument here for the sake of argument. I'm just gonna throw out my own little conspiracy theory, which I don't believe, actually, but let me just go with it because I think it'll be entertaining for a few seconds. What if Donald Trump's theory here is, hey, the Sunnis in the Middle East are a problem. Saudis fund terrorism and Qatar funds terrorism. So what if I arm them both to the teeth?
Yeah, they blow themselves to smithereens.
And then then I ratchet up some problems with them. And he's like, and maybe behind the scenes, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Behind the scenes, the president could say, hey, Qatar, I'm not trying to start any trouble here. But do you know what Saudi Arabia said about your mom?
Exactly.
Right? And then he goes back.
I'm just saying.
Right, exactly. He's just going to Saudi Arabia. He's like, look, I was just over to Qatar. And they said your dad's been drinking or whatever, something like that, right? Oh, by the way, did you get those missiles I sent you? Did you get those planes that we sent you? I'm going to be back at Mar-a-Lago. You guys work this out. I'm just saying,
right? Yeah.
If I was an advocate of the four-dimensional chess school, I might think that the president is actually arming two of the big funders of terrorism and then poking at them on Twitter. That's what I might think that, but I'm not going to go with it. Look, I mean,
kind of like when we sold missiles to Iran and then we went to Iraq and said, hey, those guys have missiles.
Well, I'll tell you what I actually do think on this. By the way, unfortunately, everything I just said in my little conspiracy fantasy there, the underlying facts are all accurate. In fact, we have sold weapons to both sides, and he was poking them on Twitter, and so I don't know what's going on.
But it started back under the Obama administration,
I'll tell you the way.
Maybe that's just consistent American policy. You know, maybe we've been doing that for years,
we
sell a lot of arms.
This is the thing. So my view is, as a populist, I'm not real big on the arms industry. That being said, if we're in the business of arming the world, business is good. I don't know how else to say it, right?
Exactly.
Like, if we're in the... It's very hard...
What was the movie where the guy said, my business is killing and business is good?
Yeah.
Oh, Major Payne.
Yeah, right. No, it's got to be a lot of, I think a lot of people said that. But I mentioned I live in Crystal City, where I'm surrounded by Lockheed Martin and General Dynamics.
All of them. BAE, name of,
And as I like to point out about the swamp, it's fabulous. And it's got a farmer's market that's great and a park that's beautiful and fountains.
And I'm sure you can get plenty of organic food.
You
and
can.
All those
you
fresh
can,
things like that.
You can get everything. They've got one restaurant over there, Garland. It's fantastic. It's a Muslim Chinese restaurant. And so rather than use pork as the main thing, it's lamb. Oh, my God, it's so good.
A friend of mine lives near a Chinese restaurant where there are no Americans working there. The cooks, everyone, they sell Chinese food. It's all Americans. And it's like some of the best Chinese food you'll ever find.
That's
which
why,
is pretty weird.
Yes. And let's go back to what I said at the first part. I said I'm not racist. Why am I not racist? I like barbecue. And so, therefore, if you're racist and you like barbecue, you're going to be in real trouble. Because the best barbecue, and I love soul food, so therefore, I don't like Peckerwood barbecue, if you know, if you've ever been to Texas. I'm just going to say that. It's just true. I like barbecue, so you can't be racist. I like to go, when I go to a Chinese restaurant, I like it when everybody's Chinese. That's what I like. Because I'm not convinced if you're, hi, I'm Seth. Welcome to Yo Ching's. I mean, that's not going to go well.
Yeah, you're just going to. But I know of an instance that doesn't apply. So
but the point here is that the arms deal, I know I just went off into a food fantasy because I'm a little hungry, but in Crystal City where I live, I can see the money. You can see the money. The arms industry, like it or not, and we've talked about this in the show before, what we do in the arms industry is we spread it around. Because who likes the arms industry? The evil Republicans. And do you know who else likes it? The evil Democrats.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And that's why they put these plants. Boeing is everywhere. Seattle, one of the most liberal places, right, in the country. Seattle's a pretty liberal town.
You know, they actually spread their factories out through various, strategically and intentionally, through various districts in the United States to ensure that they've got everything covered that, oh boy, if you stop, cut the military budget, all of these members of Congress are going to lose jobs and money. So they've got it all set up like a nice little chessboard. So nobody on either side, the most far left-leaning anti-war guy in the world, if he votes against the military budget, he loses jobs in his district. Then he hasn't brought home the bacon. He's out of there.
It's how they get you in the swamp. And it really is.
Or as in your case of the Muslim Chinese restaurant, he hasn't brought home the lamb.
Exactly right. And by the way, I'm not implying that restaurant has anything to do with the arms industry. I'm just saying that I'm sure on the lunch hour, a lot of people come over from McDonnell Douglas and everything else. And the lamb is fantastic. It really is. They got chili peppers. And I digress. But here's the point. I'll tell you how I think Trump views this. Okay. I'm going to tell you how I think Trump views it because he said it. And so again, it's not conjecture. Trump. And by the way, this is how the other politicians view it. When they talk about the arms industry, what you, Garland, see is like, I assume, dead bodies.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty much what most people see when
ruins,
they go to the areas where we send arms,
not,
dead bodies.
Not our president, not most members of Congress. What they see is jobs, jobs, jobs. That's what President Trump said when he signed the Saudi arms deal. Jobs, jobs, jobs. Now, I've got to point out that there are jobs where you just end up like, there are plenty of jobs in the country where you just end up with like furniture or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, you don't end up with anything negative whatsoever. It's like, oh, look, we make tables and the end result is tables.
Or we could take my suggestion and make like windmills and solar panel things like that because.
Or your other suggestion, which is unicorn farms. But let's not go into a full Bernie Sanders pipe dream. But look. I've said it before. I think that the arms industry is, in a sense, as elitist as you can get. And because there's huge amounts of money, of course, there's huge amounts of graft. This is, look, here's the equation, and it's real simple.
Where do all the generals go to work when they leave?
Yeah, exactly right.
At 80% at one point over, like, from 2002 or 4 to 2008. I don't have my numbers exactly right. You can Google it. Like, 80% of the generals... two and three star generals left, and they went to the military industrial complex. That's where they all go. So you know what? So Lee, think about this. You're working at the Pentagon and Boeing and Lockheed Martin, et cetera, right? They want to sell whatever. They want contracts approved. And you know when you leave. That's the thing I have about this whole revolving door thing when it comes to the RNC and the DNC and all of these other organizations where it's a revolving door. They leave. They become lobbyists. They become our politics in America. And I think most people inherently know it and don't trust it because the Pentagon's just another iteration of that, where you're there, you're approving these contracts for $1 billion to Lockheed Martin or whoever. And when you leave, you get the cushy job doing nothing, making a fortune. And once again, we see a large political machine in America when in all phases of it, they're revolving doors. You help these people make money while you're in office. And when you leave office, whether you're Eric Cantor and you're making $1 million from a bank or you're so-called left progressive guy, Barney Frank, and you're getting paid by the big banks, they all leave and they all get the same thing. And we all get the same thing, Lee, which is the shaft.
Well, and the progressive people have another variant on it. And here's where I get to mention George Soros again. The left has another variant
Never mention George Soros and the word progressive in the same.
Well, what's the name? Sentence. Doesn't he have an insurance company he's connected with?
Well, then you can do that.
Okay,
yeah,
there you go. I forget the name
of
it.
The way he makes money, but not in policy.
In fact, Soros funds lots of progressive causes. He funds the ACLU, Garland, that you're associated with.
Everybody gives money to the ACLU.
Okay.
From the right to the left.
But Soros has funded. Soros has funded. And even Hillary Clinton. Again, I know you like to disassociate yourself with this, but I can show you the video. Maybe I should.
Progressive and Hillary Clinton.
just to torture you sometime, I'm going to have them pull the audio clip of Hillary Clinton talking about how she's been supportive of progressive causes
She's never told a lie.
Okay, but here's my point. The left does it too, and the way they do it is with a lot of these Soros-funded groups. George, so again, it's the summer of Soros. I'm going to keep bringing them up because they keep bringing the Russia stuff up. The day I see the media let up on the Russia stuff is the day I let up on who's funded it.
You know, Lee, I'm going to have to go after a bunch of billionaires.
Well, you do go after George Soros is a billionaire.
I don't trust any of them. There's not Soros.
Okay,
they're all the...
Yes, but not most. Most of the billionaires have not broken the Bank of England and
promoted
color revolutions.
No, they broke the Bank of America, then they got a job in the Trump administration.
But my point here is you were saying how these generals have a revolving door. Well, there's a revolving door of liberalism, too, and that's the way that Clinton and the Clinton Foundation, they've made a ton of money. This is my point, Garland. They've made a ton of money on the Clinton Foundation, not just from their speeches. And by the way,
Saudi Arabia.
No, right. Exactly right. And from Saudi Arabia. So unfortunately, look, I'm not thrilled with this Qatar. Let's go back to what we talked about at the beginning of the segment. I'm not thrilled with this Qatar thing. That being said, I don't know what to do about it. I mean, what I do about it is we have a radio show and I'm going to talk about it and say I'm not thrilled about it. And I'm going to continue to say that the people who fund terrorism, which is Qatar funds terrorism.
Yep.
And the Saudis,
fund terrorism like crazy. Countries.
That's exactly right.
Isn't it ironic that the Saudis are like, we're not going to do business with Qatar. Why? Because they fund terrorism. It's unbelievable to watch the mainstream media report it as though it's a valid premise.
And even when Trump was poking at Qatar on Twitter, what he never said was, and we're going to shut down our military base because we've got a huge military base in Qatar.
Yeah.
Right? Huge military base. So, was this, I was going to say, somewhere between saber rattling and Twitter rattling, but Twitter rattling just also sounds very dirty when it comes out of my mouth. So I don't know what Trump was doing there. I think we've got a clearly contradictory policy.
I don't think he did either.
No.
I don't think Trump knew what he was doing. I really believe when you look at what's happened in Saudi Arabia, and I mean, the whole Saudi trip and the results of it and what's going on with Qatar now, it appears to me that there is no real strategy for the Middle East. Not that we've seen a good one or a bad one in the last 30 years, but there doesn't appear to. I think a lot of people are looking at the Trump administration and waiting, saying, when are going to we see a strategy? Because there's just this helter-skelter, you know, one week these people are good, the next week they're bad, the next week, you know, it's just, it makes no sense.
Beyond a strategy, what I'd like is some education. I've said this before. We've done little segments on the show in the past, and we'll do it in the future, where I go through and I say, let's just talk about the difference between Sunni and Shia. I was talking to somebody from a group that deals with Islamic issues yesterday.
We should have Juan Cole on. Juan Cole, nobody knows more about this. He's a professor from Michigan, from the University of Michigan.
I'd love
nobody
to have Juan
knows
Cole
more
on.
About this stuff. He's written books and books on the whole Sunni Shia conflict back from the beginning. I've had him on radio. I've interviewed him before. I'll try to get in touch with him. We really need to get him on.
Yeah, no, and there's other people I can get. Man, I wish I could get Seb Gorka, but I don't think I can get. As long as he's the administration, he can't touch. But there's people I know on the right. But
well, this guy's just a, I mean, he's just an academic. You know what I mean?
I wish what there would be from the media and from the administration is more straight talk. Again, here's my take on Saudi Arabia. It's not that they should, I don't think we need a new enemy.
But Hillary would accuse you of being a homophobe for saying that you want more straight talk, most likely.
That's right. Yeah, no, I can deal with it. No, but really, I just want honesty. I just want to be able to say, look, Saudi Arabia is done. I want them to be as honest as I've seen them be, where they admitted that they have been funding terrorism and they misled the U.S. And I sure hope the president, I'm greatly worried about it, does not sell out the victims' families from 9/11. By selling out this JASTA
bill. He probably will.
I'm worried that he will, but you know what? Again, I've got to say, when people have been worried that Trump is going the wrong way, like I was worried about the Steve Bannon thing, I never thought it would happen. I was arguing against you. You were like, Bannon's out any day. I'm like,
man,
well,
that was wishful thinking.
He's not out yet. No, but Bannon's still in there. Thank gosh. And
darn it. You could replace him with Tulsi Gabbard or Bernie or somebody. That's just a thought. I'm just throwing it out there.
That would be bad politically, but I like Tulsi. I'd love to have her on the show as well. Anyway, we'll have more for you in round three, where we will discuss some interesting speech issues involving the fashion industry and more. That's all coming up in round three on Fault Lines.
With Nixon and Stranahan.
Fault Lines. Lines.
We are back with the third and final round of Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan here on Radio Sputnik. Again, you can listen to us if you're not listening to us live. Well, if you're not listening to us live right now, that's very confusing. But if you don't want to, if you miss us live, you can catch us on iTunes, where you should leave a review, leave a rating. That's important. You can listen to us on Spreaker. You can also go to the Sputnik website and catch us there afterwards.
You
I'm
can
just
go
saying,
to the Sputnik Facebook page, Sputnik News Agency's Facebook page, and we've got Facebook Live where you can check us out live, and the video is left up afterwards indefinitely. You can go there, you can watch the video, but what we'd like you to do is you can just click share, and just, so not only do you get to watch it, you can share it on your Facebook page so your other friends get to watch it.
And also, we do this on Periscope sometimes when Jack is here, we're on Periscope. You can retweet this puppy if you want to. But anyway, let's
and
talk
you're,
about.
I am at Garland Nixon on Twitter, and you're at and Lee is at Stranahan. So you don't forget to follow us on Twitter so you can keep up with everything we're doing.
And that's the show. Good night, everybody. Thanks very much. Just a simple promotional third segment. That's it. OK, well, let's talk about, speaking of Garland Nixon, he's a frequent guest on the Fox News. By the way, I find this ironic because I'm the Republican here.
And I'm the Democrat, and I've been, like, doing Fox News.
And I've never been on Fox.
Years.
They've never had me on one time. Fox has never had me on one time. I've been on CNN. I've been on MSNBC. I've been on the Glenn Beck Show when it was on CNN.
Ah, okay. Well, that was a long time ago.
A long time ago. Never been on Fox News. Not once. But Garland, they love that Garland.
Been on
Nixon.
Fox Business News.
Love
I've been
Garland.
On their online shows. I've been on there. I love that. I've had a lot of fun.
Garland's a Bernie supporter, and Fox News loves him. And they were just on with Eric Bolling and the Fox Specialist. Well, possibly due to the influence of Garland. That's a rumor. Possibly due to the influence of Garland, Fox has changed. For a long time, the left has had fun because the Fox motto is fair and balanced. Let me talk about that in one second. But they've changed their motto, and they say it's to end the Roger Ailes era. Now, before we talk about the new motto, let me talk about them, the fair and balanced motto, because people on the left always love to go, oh, well, Fox, fair and balanced. You know what? Andrew Breitbart used to point this out to me. In fact, Fox is more fair and balanced than the other networks, and I'll explain what Andrew said to me, and I at first I disagreed with him, and then I was like, huh, he's right. Andrew said when they would do a segment about Andrew Breitbart on MSNBC, guess who they would never invite?
Andrew Breitbart.
Andrew Breitbart, exactly right. It's like, let's have two people who hate Andrew Breitbart talk about Andrew. Hater number one, what do you think? I hate him. What do you think, hater number two? I hate him. And by the way, their voices weren't like that, but I'm just trying to differentiate. But that was it. With Fox, they might do a segment called, like, Andrew Breitbart, should you hate him or not? And then, but they'd have people who hate him and then people who like him. The reason Garland is on, as we pointed out a lot, is not in spite of the fact that he's a progressive. It's because he's a progressive. In other words, they're trying to be actually, drum roll please, fair and balanced. Now, what people don't like is they've got host Tucker Carlson now, Sean Hannity, who are clearly on the right. They've got other hosts, by the way, mostly in their day parts. And again, that sounds dirty when I say it, but mostly in their day parts, like Shep Smith. Shep Smith is not like a raving conservative or anything like that. And by the way, to the great dismay of a lot of Fox voters, I mean, watchers, you don't vote Fox. By the way, if you're voting Fox, you're probably in Mexico where you're voting
Vicente Fox. Yeah,
Vicente Fox. But I think they are more fair and balanced, and I don't make fun of it. Now, Garland, what say you, my friend?
A couple of things. I always felt that the fair and balance with Fox was something a little bit different, that it was more of an industry thing, that Fox felt that, and this is my personal view based on the things I've heard over the course of the years and read, not internally, but read, and I always felt that Fox News, the people behind Fox News, felt that overall that the media was skewed to the left. And yeah, that the part of the big part of the fair and balanced part was, since they were skewed to the left, that it was balancing the scale as a whole by giving people a little bit of more of a more, you know, a conservative perspective. And here's the way I've always felt about Fox. I didn't really watch it even when I, except when I'm on it. But you know me, the Mr. Civil Libertarian. I always believe I didn't. People were like, oh, Fox, it's terrible. It shouldn't be on the air. I'm like, you know what? I always believe that all perspectives should be on the air, and I don't have any problem. There's people that are, you know, don't want us on the air here at Sputnik, whatever. I say, I always believe all perspectives should be on the air. The people at Fox have all treated me well. I've watched Fox, and sure, is it conservative and skewed to the right? And it was like, oh, Obama's terrible all the time. Yeah, but let's be honest about things. Turn on CNN or MSNBC. I don't watch Fox because it's very conservative, and I'm not conservative, and it's not appealing to me. I can't watch CNN and MSNBC because it's garbage to me. It's just garbage. I'm on the left. They ain't nowhere near where I am. I don't know where they are, but it's absolute garbage to me, and I can't watch there's no time I can turn on CNN and I don't see the two words, and that's Trump and Russia. There's nothing about policy there anymore. And I tell you, when I was done with MSNBC, and there was a time in my life, and I know I have a lot of friends like this. There was a time in our lives when we came home from 6 o'clock on, MSNBC was on in my house. And now I wouldn't turn it on. You'd have to put a gun to my head. But I was watching. So Bernie had just won New Hampshire, blew Hillary away in New Hampshire, right? I'm watching it. And afterwards, they have their fair and balanced team, right?
Right.
There's Chris Matthews, who's a Hillary supporter. Debbie Wasserman Schultz. There was another woman who had, I forgot her name, one of those names of the people, like Lanny Guinier, one of the names, I'm not saying it was Lanny Guinier, you know, one of the names that you know that just associated with the Clintons were in the Clinton administration for years, you know, So you had three diehard Clinton supporters, including Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was the former Clinton campaign chairman and chairman of the DNC, and they had one conservative who hated both Hillary and Bernie. So you had all these people that hated Bernie, and that was their fair coverage, you know, and it was something to the effect of, well, gee, Bernie has just destroyed Hillary in New Jersey. How do you think he'll bounce back from that? And I'm like, that's it. I'm done with these people. And that was the end of it.
Now, if the fair and balanced motto made liberals' heads explode David Cronenberg style, which it did, the new motto is not going to go over much better. I've got to say. So the new motto is, drum roll, Garland, do the honors.
That was my drum roll. So you can do the announcement.
I believe it's most watched, most trusted.
Yeah.
Have I got that?
Most watched, most trusted. I did the drum roll.
There we go. Thanks. Now, that's going to make people's heads explode, although it's a little less normative I want to get all fancy and college
and to use
educated.
An old school hip hop reference, the Fat Boys I Ain't.
So most trusted is the part that's going to make people insane. The most watched, you know, if look,
they're
ratings,
losing some numbers since they lost O'Reilly. Since they left the Ailes model, those of us on the left didn't like it. And it was like, they're really hardcore right wingers and they're blah, 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 and they're unfair and all that. But in defense of that model made them money. That model gave them, whether you like it or not, it worked from a business perspective. And what they're doing now, I don't know if it's because people were accustomed to something, you know, kind of like the new Coke. You had a flavor that people loved to drink, and you went to another flavor, and they're like, yeah, I like the old Coke better.
Well, and people like, we've talked about it, like Rachel Maddow's numbers have gone up because she's gone in on this pandering on the Russia thing. Rachel Maddow's gone Louise Mensch, shall we put it that way? And so the most trusted thing is the thing that's going to make them nuts. But again, I believe that there's polling that shows that Fox News, I'll put it like this, they have more loyal viewers, I think, than the other networks. And they should, because even people like, I remember, we talked about MSNBC before. I remember when Cenk from the Young Turks was on MSNBC, and he publicly had to quit. And as a guy who's publicly quit things before, I appreciate this, which is mentioned in that Newsweek article as well, that I've quit Breitbart twice and been fired once, that Cenk came out and said, they came to me at MSNBC, this is a few years ago, and he had been critical of Obama, and he thought it was his job to be critical of, he thought it was his job to be honest. That's what Cenk's mistake was.
Well, boy, that was foolish.
And they went to him and said, no, you can't do that. And so he, again, God bless him for it. He did the brave thing and he left over it.
And, you know, if you read what he said, one of the things he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but I'm not far from it. He said was they talked to him about criticizing the establishment. And they said, and I almost got this quote almost perfect. Don't forget, we are the establishment.
That is what they said. And they also were really condescending to him and said, hey, we know you like to wear a leather jacket and everything. It's fun to be a rebel, but we are that's what they said.
Yeah.
And it's interesting.
And Melissa Harris Perry, when she left, did the same kind of thing. She said she felt as though they were pushing her. They were trying to censor her.
Yes. That's another story slightly, but okay.
But, I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah,
it's people
was
leaving,
the same thing.
Saying, look, they're censoring her, you know, they won't let us. Basically, they have a narrative, and if we don't go along with the narrative, you're out of here.
That's right, yeah. Now, let's turn from this for a second to this Dolce & Gabbana thing, because this is fascinating to me. So, people have been attacking the Italian fashion company, Dolce & Gabbana, which, by the way, let me just check my wardrobe and see how many things I own by Dolce & Gabbana. That would be zero. I don't own anything by them, but I'll talk about that in a second. So, the First Lady, on the other hand, likes Dolce & Gabbana. And she's been spotted in Dolce & Gabbana clothes. And so they've said, hey, let's freak out. This is what the left's been doing. They don't have another tactic right now, except banning things. This is one of the reasons. And by the way, I got to say this.
And I have some breaking news, some stuff about CNN I want to get on. But go ahead. I'll go after this. We'll
so what they've done is, then they've done the same thing to Breitbart. I mentioned earlier, this is Newsweek story on Breitbart. One of the absolutely unfair attacks on Breitbart has been to go after their advertisers in a very organized way, which I don't like. And by the way, I'm not big on boycotts in general, and I'm very Starbucks, for instance. Starbucks has come out with all sorts of leftist causes. You've seen me, Garland.
Wonderful organization, I might add. I hate their coffee.
But you've seen me drink them.
Yeah.
Right? I like Starbucks. Andrew Breitbart likes Starbucks. So anyway, I don't like the whole boycott mentality unless there's something. It's got to be pretty serious.
Well, again, my ACLU hat comes on and I say this. I just feel that that's part of people expressing themselves. And whether or not I like a boycott or not, I feel like people have a right. And if they want to vote with their feet, as they say,
they do. And
people can do it. Whether we like it against the organization or not, but you have a right to say that you hate it and you think it's wrong.
That's
so
right.
I'm
and
down
that's,
with
that's
that.
That's what Go I'm ahead. Doing. Yeah. Now, here's what I love that Dolce & Gabbana did. So they were getting all of this flack from people for
Melania
wears her stuff. So they've come out with a T-shirt that says, so there's two parts I love. A, it says boycott Dolce & Gabbana. That's the T-shirt. Now, by the way, it's not even, I'm looking at the T-shirt right now. It's a white T-shirt that says boycott Dolce & Gabbana with a heart on it. And there's nothing fancy about the design. It looks like you could, you remember those T-shirt design places at the mall?
You could just go get them, yeah, and they just like iron the letters on, they'd be
exactly
kind of
crooked. Exactly right.
Yeah.
By the way, here's a hint. That's a bad anniversary gift for your wife. If you're ever thinking, I'm going to go to the T-shirt shop at the mall and get I Love You, Honey.
Yeah. Or guys like, out there, if you're going to do that and like a vacuum cleaner, you don't want to do that.
World's best wife.
Yeah.
Something like that is a bad move. But that's the way it looks. But here's my favorite part. The T-shirt is $245. That's the best. That is the best part about this, is the T-shirt costs $245. Now, I like it in general because it's basically Dolce & Gabbana. Forgive me. That's an Italian company. And as we all know, the Italians perfected the middle finger.
Yeah.
As a means of self-expression. This is a huge middle finger.
One of the things that the lefties, the Bernie people, I'll just say about that, are saying now is, look, this, and the New York Times went after my friend Lee Camp, host of Redacted Tonight on RT. They went after Lee Camp for another
big Trump supporter on Russian media.
Yeah,
by the
absolutely
way.
Not.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah,
I know Lee, and not a Trump supporter.
Yeah. And God, what I was going to say,
Lee Camp. They went after Lee Camp, and you were saying that
I'm lost.
I don't know. Your breaking CNN news?
Okay, there we go. That, you know, ADD is a very interesting thing to have. So we'll go to our ADD move is let's go to breaking CNN.
My theory is if you go to the CNN news, you'll remember what you're going to say
exactly.
About. Let's
three
see
words
if my theory's
in, so
right.
Let's start there. Okay, so I got this email, and it's from the National Center for Public Policy Research. It's a press release. Listen to this. You're going to love this, Lee. You're going to love it. For release June 15th, right? Time Warner recommits to CNN objectivity. In the face of potential boycott, CEO Jeff Bukes concedes that judgment over media bias will ultimately be made by the viewer. Media giant continues to support New York City's public theater, blah, 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 despite controversy over Trump character's grisly murder. I hate to laugh, but it's like they're saying, CNN saying there's going to be objective. CNN, we recommit to objectivity.
When
do they commit to objectivity?
Don't
you have to be objective in the first place to recommit to objectivity? Or maybe they committed to it, they just never actually did it.
And I pointed out that the guy who's directing this version of the way they're committing is by supporting this Trump murder play called it's Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, but they make a big point of Julius Caesar's dressed like Trump and he's stabbed to death at the beginning and his shirt's bloody, right? And I got to point out, I did this today and made people nuts on a Periscope. The guy who directed that, he carries around his mother's Communist Party membership card.
Apparently, they got a letter.
So, of course, CNN supports him.
Apparently, they got a letter from their shareholders about bias. Apparently, they got a letter of angry shareholders about the bias. And apparently, the CEO felt it was necessary to recommit to their bias.
Wait, he's recommitted to their bias?
I mean, recommitting to objectivity. At today's annual Time Warner investment meeting, a representative of the National Center for Public Policy Research warned that shareholders' return on investment could be harmed due to viewers and advertisers jumping the news channel in response to overwhelmingly anti-Trump coverage. Let me tell you, here's my point. And that is with CNN, anti-Trump, you know I ain't going to have a problem with anti-Trump. But to me, what CNN has turned to, it's not even a news outlet anymore. You know, me and my friend, me and a good buddy of mine used to joke, we're Bernie people. And we're like, we would rename all of the websites. Like the Huffington Post, we called it the Trumpington Post. Alternet, we called it Alter Trump. Raw Story, we called it Raw Trumpy. Because when you went to these, we're like, okay, I used to go to these. These were progressive sites, right? Left-leaning sites. I go there, there's 20 stories and 19 of them are about Trump. You turn on CNN all day long, Russia, 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 Trump, Trump, Trump. And I'm like this. I want some news. Didn't a plane crash somewhere? Didn't some guy fall off a mountain climbing in the Andes? Wasn't there something that happened?
Wasn't there a policy about apprenticeships?
Wasn't there some policies? Maybe there wasn't somebody screaming, "We want healthcare" somewhere, protesting anything. But to me, I agree with their shareholders. Their anti-Trump bias has gotten to a point, which I don't oppose anti-Trump bias. My point is, at some point, something else happens. You are no longer a news entity. You are just the left calls it. The left calls it the same thing as right. We call it the Clinton News Network. That's what you guys call it. That's what the Bernie supporters call it.
And by the way, if CNN's not listening to this, that's Garland Nixon, the Democrat on the show, saying that. Let's just be real clear.
You know what we call MSNBC? We call it MSHRC.
Well, look, here's the thing. Hillary Clinton is the establishment. We've talked about that
many
times before.
She's an avatar. That's why she lost, because she's an avatar for the establishment.
Yeah, but it's also why she's been so successful, because she runs the show. So anyway, that's all the show we have for you today. Tomorrow we will be covering more news. I have a feeling the media is going to be talking about Russia again.
I think about 12:15 tonight, I'll remember what I forgot.
That's right, just after the show's over. Until next time, you've been listening to Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan.
Fault Lines.